I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio, Season 9.
Love at first listen.
We're older, we're wiser, and we're podcasting through a new decade of our lives.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
And getting to the heart of our stories.
We're going places we've never gone before, and we're bringing you along with us.
With new segments, correspondence, and a brand new sound.
Season 9 is kicking off with an intimate interview with Grammy Award-winning singer-songwriter Natalia Lafourcade. What's giving you hope right now?
Well, when I see what music does to people, it gives me a lot of hope.
If you liked Locatora before, you're gonna love Season 9.
Subscribe to our show and you'll see why Locatora is your prima's favorite podcast.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. Listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right.
Oh, hi, I'm Rachel Zoe, and my podcast Climbing in Heels is back and better than ever. You might know me from the Rachel Zoe Project, or perhaps from my work as a celebrity stylist. And guess what? I'm still just as obsessed with all things fashion, beauty, and business. Climbing in Heels is all about celebrating the stories of extraordinary women, and this season is here to bring you a weekly dose of glamour, inspiration, and fun. Listen to Climbing in Heels every Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Vanessa Bayer, and this is my brother, Jonah.
We're two siblings who love to talk about our childhood and nostalgia and how it shaped us into the people we are today.
Who think that today's guest is all that.
Welcome to How Did We Get Weird.
You know, Jonah, we were just home in Cleveland and you were asked to do something that you famously said on this podcast that you would never do, which is to clean your stuff out of mom and dad's basement.
Yes. I think saying that on the podcast and having them hear it really sabotaged me because then I think they became worried that I've already been putting it off for about 15 years.
Right.
Yeah. I found some stuff, kind of a lot of old show flyers, many CDs, books, photos, all kinds of stuff. I was able to get rid of some stuff, some like broken guitar stand. I got rid of like the kind of low hanging fruit, like the stuff that was really no possibility of selling or keeping for nostalgic purposes.
And by the way, I just want to make clear to any of our listeners who haven't listened to every episode, our parents, when we were in college, moved into a condo and they just basically took all of our stuff in boxes and put it in their basement. And we're like, you guys need to go through this at some point. And now we're in our 40s and we're finally going through it.
Yeah, I got thousands of CDs down there. And I think I've waited so long with the CDs that they've actually started to become valuable again. Like, I think I rode the whole wave.
Right.
But I still have they take up so much space. I have a house now. I think our guests can relate to what I'm saying.
The actual CDs in the CD cases, because that's the problem I have in my parents' house, is that I've saved all of the CDs, but when I went to college, I got those books, and I had like books of CDs, and the CDs never got back in their jewel cases. That's what they're called.
Jewel cases.
So, yeah, I'm looking at about probably like 800 to 1,000 CDs with like maybe 100 of them have CDs actually in them.
Yeah.
But I won't let them go. They sit in my parents' garage. But
yeah. Poor parents.
They didn't move to a condo. So I feel like they gave you ample time to get rid of them.
They did.
Enough that my folks would have just gotten rid of them.
Our parents are very respectful. I have probably 3 or 4 times that, and they are all in the jewel cases, which
unbelievable.
Is
unbelievable.
Yeah, so they just take up a lot of space.
It's crazy that you kept them like that.
Yeah.
That you didn't make like a little pack for your car and...
Yeah, that's what happened to me. That's it.
Yeah.
Who needs cup holders? You can fit about 100 CDs stacked together in the center console. You
jam them in there. Yeah. I don't know. I always jewel cased them. I don't know. Yeah.
And you had a bunch of baseball cards too.
A bunch of baseball cards that I thought would be worth, millions of dollars when I bought them 30 years ago and they're worth like 10 bucks. I know.
Yeah.
It was the whole
kit and caboodle, 10 bucks.
Yeah. It's such a fallacy of our generation. I feel like people are like, if you buy this 1987 top set and wait 30 years, it's going to be worth $10 million. And it's worth like less money than I paid for it.
Well, because they told 20 million children that.
Exactly.
And they produced 20 million copies of each, as opposed to your dad being like, oh, you know, you better clean up your room because, you know, when I was growing up, your grandma threw out my Superman #1. And you know how much we could have bought 2 houses with that.
Yep.
But I left it out and she threw it out. So be careful.
I know.
And, you know, I bought all those Image comics and they're worth absolutely nothing.
Yeah. Yeah. Everyone knew that stuff would be worth something in the future. So no one got rid of it. So now it's not worth it. But anyways, one thing that the last thing I want to say that I found was some VHS tapes. I did find a copy. And we talked about this with Kenan Thompson when he was on the podcast, of my original orange Good Burger VHS tape.
Yeah.
I almost got rid of, and then I was like, no, I think this is like a collector's item. So I still got it.
I've got some kind of bad news for you.
What's that?
You told us to take it out. We saved it, you know, but I took it out of the case and it's the orange VHS tape. So I think it is an original, but there's just like a sticker on it that someone has written Good Burger on. So it's not like the original label on it. It's just
really?
Like this, like, yes. And it's really weird. And and it makes it me think that maybe it's not quite as valuable as
my Good Burger VHS was a bootleg.
I think it might have been. It's weird because it is on an orange VHS tape, which feels like very unique to Good Burger, but it does have like a not original label on it.
That is shocking to me.
There was one long piece of scotch tape around the back, so you might want to put that in a VCR and see what's actually on there now. So it might not be Good Burger. It might be something else.
It's probably like a Cleveland Browns game from like 1987 or something.
I think that's fair.
Yeah, okay. Well, let's introduce today's guest. Let's get into it. If you haven't guessed already, our guest is an actor, musician. You know him from Little Pete on the beloved Nickelodeon sitcom The Adventures of Pete and Pete. He recently also wrote a book with his partner Kate Tamborelli called The First Date Prophecy, which I have, which you can get and order it and read it. And let's give a warm welcome to Danny Tamborelli.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much. What a lovely introduction.
How's it going, Danny?
He was beloved. Little Pete was beloved.
Yes.
Little Pete, yes.
And now
yes.
he's grown into an adult. People still can't seem to figure that out. Oh my God, dude, you look so old. I was 11, dude.
You get that a lot?
Yeah. You know, I get to find the weird parts of society that have like not totally synced up with their rational part of their brain.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's like that, like, I can't believe you look so old. Well, it was 30 something years ago. And is the tattoo real? Which is also, what were we doing to the kids? They just believed everything that was on TV. This 7-year-old had a tattoo? Not likely.
Yeah.
Child services would have been called. I would have been an orphan.
Right.
Right.
You know.
By the way, I want to say, Danny, you don't look old at all. Like, you look, you're very youthful looking. I mean, you obviously look younger. I mean, older than you were when you were 11. Like, you don't look like an 11-year-old. But it's like, you're like one of the most youthful looking adults. Like, you look great. Like, it's so funny that people are like, you look so old. It's like, well, it's been like 30 years or 20 years. You know, it's like, it's been decades. So
let's see your driver's license, pal. Let's see your picture. Then show me your 5th grade picture.
Yeah.
And let's see who looks different now. We all look young. Keenan, Kel, myself.
Yep.
You all look so young.
We drank the Nickelodeon slime, and that was part of the fountain of youth, but it has its, you know, that's why I have to, my penance is I have to go through all the, you know, the irrational and pardon my French, the dumbasses of the world to be like, yo, what's wrong with you? But that's a price I pay for being 41 with 2 kids, not even any gray hair yet. It's we're doing something right.
Incredible.
The fact that you're so recognizable 30 years later shows that you have, I mean, it's like
exactly.
A lot of people don't look anything like they looked when they were 11 and people. So yeah, but you're right. You and Keenan too. Keenan looks so youthful.
Keenan's
too.
Forever young. Yeah. Yeah. He drank more than I did. That's why he's more famous.
I'm curious, Danny, like, you know, we've had cast members from Blossom and stuff on the show talking about hanging out with like the other kids from like the sitcoms, like TGIF and that kind of stuff. Were you hanging out with a lot of Nickelodeon peers your age when they were shooting that show, or were you kind of on your own, like in New Jersey? You were shooting in New Jersey?
Well, Pete and Pete was shot in New Jersey. All that was Los Angeles. And we used to do these, like, you know, Nickelodeon a couple times a year would do like a Nick Takes Over Your School, and they'd bring like a couple different people from a couple different shows, or like The Big Help. And, you know, so a couple times a year we'd all kind of co-mingle. But for the most part, I was like the youngest of the older kids and the oldest of the younger kids.
Interesting.
On all that. So it was just like, and I was sophomore and junior and senior in high school. So I was aging up. So like the kids below me, I was like, that's cool. I'll be cool with you guys during school. But Keenan, you and I, we're going out. We're gonna be drinking underage, we're gonna be smoking, and we're going to be listening to loud music down Sunset Boulevard and hope nobody brandishes a gun at us for driving like assholes.
And along those lines, this is something that I would always ask Keenan about. Were you like really into the cast of Roundhouse? Did you think they were really cool, or were you not? Yeah, yes. Right?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. Now, I can't remember who it was, but one of them used to like do outdoor performance stuff at the Santa Monica, the Third Street Promenade.
That makes so much sense.
So you'd be walking down the street and like you'd see them like doing backflips and getting people all excited. And I was like, that's a dude from Roundhouse. That's cool.
Because we're like the same age, basically. And I can't, when Roundhouse was on, I was like, these are the coolest teens I've ever, or like young adults I've ever seen in my life. So the fact that you had like access to them, like I can't, well, with their cool dancing and knee pads and stuff.
Oh, yeah. Dancing and knee pads. I have a very like specific memory of watching Roundhouse, and they made Chris Robinson joke, and I had just gotten into the Black Crowes because, again, being like a little kid on a set, I was like people's younger siblings, so like I would get like all these crazy mixtapes of all this music, and like you know, kind of my tastes were tailored to the crew members on set, like
right,
that really like hit me. So I was getting all this music, and I was really getting into the Black Crowes, and the dad was, you know, in his wheelie recliner, yes, like going all
his
around.
His recliner with his remote control thing. Yeah,
yeah, exactly. And he grabbed a mop and he picked it up and he said, hey, look, I'm Chris Robinson from the Black Crowes. Because he was just like skinny with long hair coming down. And I laughed really hard. And I don't know why that like stays in my brain, but it does. So every time I see a mop, I'm like, that's Chris Robinson. He'd probably hate hearing that, but you know.
And it's like you were probably like so proud of yourself for getting such a cool joke about a cool band from cool people.
That's incredible.
Right,
I mean,
right.
Danny, speaking of references, like obviously you're very young on the show, and you know, I know you're really into music. Did you have any awareness of like the Stooges and that kind of stuff when Iggy Pop was on the show?
It all came from other crew members, and my father was basically like, he's like, do you know who's coming on the show? And I was like, no. He goes, let's go downstairs, son. And he like,
wow.
Steve took me downstairs. My dad is also, I have so much vinyl. It's disgusting to live in a Brooklyn apartment for the amount of vinyl that takes up space in the apartment. Anyway, my dad also has a pretty big collection, and he just like sat me down on the couch in the basement, his like theater room, and just started playing. He just put on Funhouse, and I was like immediately like, oh my God, like this is right up my alley. So cool. He was the man too. Like he talked to me, sat with me at lunch, like every day that he was on set, we just like talked about when he worked at a pet store and how he got his name Iggy, and like just like random stuff. Like Pete and Pete in particular was a special kind of crew where everybody like talked to me like an adult. So I never ever felt like I was a child or felt weird. Like, wow. Ooh, this isn't my place to be here. He just sit with me and we just shoot the shit. I straight up said to him, I was like, you know, I did some reading up on you, and you know, whatever my dad said, I was like, I thought maybe you were going to break this Snapple bottle and roll around in it. He said he's over that. He's like, I'm over that, kid. Anyway, we can still talk. He taught me how to play TVI on the bass. Like, I just started playing bass on the series. The prop master gave me a bass because my public school in Jersey was like, you could play violin, or you could play guitar, and that's it. I was like, what about bass? Because we ain't got no room for no bass. You want four strings, you play the violin. And I was like, oh, great. And I was terrible at the violin, and I was griping about it on set, and Dan Fisher heard me, and he was like, I got an extra bass, and he brought one in the next day. And so I always had it in my, you know, on me the rest of the time that I was shooting the show. And Iggy came and he saw it one day and he was like, oh, I'll bring my guitar in. And he fucking taught me and Mike, Big Pete, how to play TVI. And we were just like jamming on it, blew an amplifier, no big deal. I feel like I'm bragging now. I'm sorry.
No, I think you should have just retired that. Like, how do you top that?
I know, and I can't. And you know what? That amplifier that we broke, I made him sign it, and he wrote, we fucking blew it, and then sits in my parents' garage right next to the stack of CDs that have no CDs in them. And that's just where it lies.
Wow.
Incredible. Oh, my gosh.
But yeah, but mostly I didn't know. I knew who Michael Stipe was because R.E.M. was just so huge. I knew who Kate Pearson was because the B-52s were so huge. I knew who Chris Elliott was, not music, but that was him and my grandfather on the show, who was, oh my God, my name is eluding me right now. See, that's it. Where the face looks like I'm young, my brain is like 104. Bill Hickey. Bill Hickey was the grandfather in Pete and Pete. And so like him and I knew LL Cool J too. I guess so, yeah, maybe half. I was like half and half. Like Gordon Gano, Violent Femmes, I was like, oh, okay, I know, now I know who it is. Yeah.
Yeah.
But Bill Hickey hated me because by day three of shooting, I just kept asking him to repeat his famous line from Christmas Vacation, which is, the blessing. And I was like, can you do the blessing? And he humored me a couple times. And he's like, dude, kid, I'm fucking old. Like, leave me alone. Just leave me alone now.
Wow.
So I did.
So that's when you started playing bass. And then when did you sort of start playing in bands?
Pretty much right away. That was like another reason I wanted to play bass was someone had told me, Mark Mulcahy, who was the main guy from Miracle Legion and Polaris, who was like the band, the opening of Pete and Pete, said that guitar players are a dime a dozen. If you want to be in a band, play bass, because there's always a need for bassists and drummers. And I can't drum for shit. So
yeah,
I was like, that makes sense. I also was always very drawn to it.
Okay. What kind of stuff were you? Because I played bass as a teenager. I was like really into like Green Day, Rancid, obviously Primus.
Yeah,
well,
you're checking off like sick bass player one, sick bass player two, sick bass player three.
Yep.
I guess that was a good thing, right? You jump right into like the flashy, like virtuosos to just so they didn't scare you when, you know, you're a 41-year-old dude who still does like play shows, and then you like scroll in online, you see like a 7-year-old kid playing bass better than you'll ever play bass in your life, and you're just like, what is my life? Why am I doing this?
I think it's like a bit of a double-edged sword. Like I was very into like Victor Wooten and Flea and stuff, and then I realized that like playing slap bass is never going to work in a band I'm ever in. It's like more of like a guitar center, like showing off for 5 seconds. Like it's not really
right.
Yeah.
Totally. No. You got to hear that hiccup when Flea does the higher ground bass slide. It's not just do do da do do da do do da. You got to do that ba ba ba. And you do that loud enough in a guitar center, three people will come over and be like, "Hey man, you did that right. Cool. Most people play it like this."
Yeah. Yeah. What were some of your big bands when you were like in high school?
Well, I was squarely stuck in the bands for a while. Like, you know, my dad was such a classic rock dude, so I was like a big Who fan, again, virtuoso bassist. John Entwistle was tops for me as a preteen and a teenager. And then The Clash. Do you remember when we were in school, because we were the same age, you borrowed the books. You always had to give them back. So you had to put like construction paper or like, you know, something over it. But they used to have these like stretchy book socks. Did you guys ever have to do that? Was that not something you guys did? Maybe not.
Like book covers?
Like you had to cover your books in school so they didn't get trashed.
Yes.
I remember the cardboard ones or the newspapery ones.
Right, cardboard, newspapery ones. But they also made these like stretchy... Like socks.
Those didn't make it to us because we had mostly the ones you would buy that were made of paper. And then some people figured out how to do it with like grocery, like brown grocery bags. And those people, I was like, these people are geniuses. But I don't think we had the stretchy ones.
No, we didn't have it. And we weren't those kind of people. I can barely wrap a present now. It looks like a 5-year-old did it. My wife is just like,
Same. I'm really bad at it.
Well, we used to write all over them. And at some point, someone was behind me in school and he was like, how many the bands can you write on your book? And I said, well, I guess that you're right. The Kinks, the Rolling Stones,
yep.
The Who.
Also,
I guess the Clash. I know. You're just sitting there. I was trying to write
that
it.
That you're
the script,
writing like names of bands on your book. Like, yeah, it's just like, I'm going to display my interests on my.
Right.
That's really
I did that
sweet.
Too. Exactly. I did that too, for sure.
I'm sure if you didn't know Miss Sartovsky, look at this. I'm cool. Yeah, you see that? That you see that right there? That says flock of seagulls. So what?
Now, it's interesting. Oh, I was just going to say, you know, a lot of the people on Salute Your Shorts, which I guess Salute Your Shorts, was that on at the same time or maybe that was?
So I consider that second generation Nickelodeon. First generation being all the Canadian stuff. You can't do it on television and others, which I can't think of names. A pinwheel.
Right.
That kind of stuff.
Whoa,
that was all
yeah.
like. That's like
we were little.
That's number one. Like there's Proto, which is like the weird cube thing, or like really how Nick started. And then when it was on the air, it was the Canadian stuff. And then that second generation, it was like Salute Your Shorts and
like Hey Dude.
Hey, thank you. I'm glad you saw my whip. And you're
Welcome
like, oh,
Freshman.
Totally
that was one.
Welcome Freshman. Clarissa Explains It All. Pete and Pete because it started in '89. So, I mean, that they were like these little interstitials, basically. They were like commercials for the network that were these little shows in between commercials, in between the shows on Nick.
Yeah, and there were people in, obviously, in Salute Your Shorts that went on to be in bands. And so, I feel like there's a lot
of... Yeah, there was Danny Cooksey, who was in Bad for Good, and then Blake Sennett was in Rilo Kiley with Jenny, our friend Jenny Lewis, and yeah.
Right.
Did you have any crossover with any of the... Did you ever have like a Nickelodeon jam or anything?
Yes, that would be so awesome.
That would be good. No Nickelodeon, no real Nickelodeon jams.
Do you think you should
jams.
Do it now?
Yeah. You know what? Let's just call him up. Let's just get him in on
this
right
now. I was
going
to say,
now.
You guys can do it in my backyard or at my house. It's not like a big backyard, but...
Yeah, I'm into it.
I can have refreshments here.
Look, if Operation Ivy can get back together once or twice in someone's backyard in a beautiful backyard in Los Angeles, then we can do that too for the first time.
Yes. Yeah. Yes, yeah. For sure. You know, I'm obsessed with that era of punk. Like I saw Rancid and Out Come the Wolves tour in 95, one of my first shows, and big into that. But the other scene that I'm so into lately reading about is like the late night, like the grunge scene, like reading all the books. Were you into that?
Yes. Yeah. So much. I mean, it's very strange. So like the second and third seasons of Pete and Pete where we shot in different towns. These kids, because I used to have a hat that had patches all over it, and it was like such a mishmash. It was like Pantera and Megadeth and then Primus and then like,
yep. You know,
yeah, like Green Day and Rancid and stuff like that. So kids would like come and like give me like gifts from like the record store. So I had like posters on the wall from like cool like Nirvana posters. I mean, Nirvana was when I was 10 and we were shooting the Mighty Ducks in Minnesota, and I was the second youngest kid in that, so like most of the kids were like, you know, 13, 14, and I was like 9 and 10. I turned 10 on while we were shooting, and Eldon, who played Fulton in the movie, was like such a music junkie, and I used to just listen to whatever he listened to. So like I was listening to Red Hot Chili Peppers at like 9 and got in trouble for, you know, like you shouldn't be listening to this right now. Or like, you know, Bad Motor Finger, that Soundgarden record was like heavy rotation for me at like 10. And that was like, yeah, it was a big deal. I got to see all of them except for Nirvana, of course. But I got to see Soundgarden and Alice in Chains and Pearl Jam. Like,
really?
You know, all in like the late 90s era.
I never got to see Alice in Chains. I saw Soundgarden probably around 95 to 94 on the Super Unknown tour, but never got to see Nirvana or Alice in Chains. And those, yeah.
Yeah.
The Nirvana one, I remember being in, you know, I was in sixth grade. I remember where I was. Like, that was like that moment for me, like when he died. And it was like, I used to try to, because he was, you know, in that later period where he was like, had the bleach blonde hair, but like a couple like streaks of green. So that it was like all my friends and I were like, you know, the blonde haired kids were easy to get in. This redhead was like, I'm like, this is going to be great.
Always dealt with that. It's the worst.
We don't have fun here. Like, you can spray as much manic panic as you want in your hair and it ain't sticking.
Not going to show up.
That's a lesson we all got to learn in the 90s. It's not an easy one.
So instead, I just went to like Sharpieing my fingernails because I could do that.
That's going to show up, especially, yeah.
Oh, and you know what? I stole a lot from Billy Corgan at that time because I used to wear oversized shirts and I would, long sleeve shirts, and I would cut a hole so I could stick my thumb through it. So like, you know,
And
it's back again.
It's for sun protection. A lot of sun protective clothing has that, so it covers your the top of your hand from
the
sun.
You know what? I didn't realize how badly my tops of my hands are getting burned until I had children and use a stroller, and I have destroyed the tops of my hands.
Well, also because as a kid, you were protecting them by dressing like Billy Corgan.
That's right.
Danny, did you have, we've talked about a lot in the podcast, I had a kind of big JNCO phase in the 90s. Did you buy into that at all?
There's a video of my senior year, the band, it's the same, the guitar player and I have been in the same band for 23 years. We just changed our name once because we got a cease and desist letter from some shitty punk rock band in Virginia when we were like 18 and came to like a Hotmail account. We're like, oh shit, we're in trouble. So we changed our name. But it was Battle of the Bands, and I was wearing JNCO overalls, dude. Like,
whoa, I didn't know those existed.
Yes, exactly. Wow. You know what? I got all the cool shit from the Ross down the street from where I lived in Burbank. And when I go back to New Jersey, I'd be like, hey, look, this shit ain't even come east yet. Like, check these out. Big old stupid overalls. Yeah, it's embarrassing to see, like, for sure. I mean, I wish that was a style that wasn't coming back.
I sent Jonah this post that someone made about, like, wearing pants in the 90s where it's, like, on a rainy day, just, like, the JNCOs just being, like, halfway up, just completely soaked.
Two-tone from the knee down.
Okay, this is me playing a show in high school.
Oh my god.
Just Jonah was skinny that it looked like he was...
Hey, the grog shop. Nice.
Yeah.
This is the original grog shop before it moved about 15 years ago.
To the Heights. Yeah.
Yeah.
But Jonah just would look like he was floating down the hallways in our high school because he had such big hands.
It's true. Danny, I'm also in a band that got a cease and desist, but we're called the United Nations and we got a cease and desist from the actual United Nations.
Well, see, that's a much better thing than some idiot kid who probably was like, oh, these guys got the domain name first. Well, we're going to show them. And it worked.
There's only a finite, I've been talking about this a lot. We're going to take a break in a minute, but there's only a finite number of words. Like, how does anyone come up with a band name in 2023? It seems literally impossible.
That's why, do you think ChatGPT got so big?
Yeah.
All these weird new bands are coming out with these weird names and lyrics that nobody understands because they didn't write them.
It's so bizarre to think like you could name your band, like, we should call our band Kiss. Like, okay. Like, you know, like nothing was taken.
Yeah. The good old days when nothing was taken. Oh my God. You're right. Well, we're going to take a quick commercial break and then we'll be right back with these two rule breakers. One of them being Danny Timberelli.
I'm Elliot Connie, and this is Family Therapy.
My best hopes, I guess, identify the life that I want and work towards it.
I never seen a man take care of my mother the way she needed to be taken care of.
I get the impression that you don't feel like you've done everything right as a father. Is that true?
That's true. And I'm not offended by that.
Thank you for going through those things, and thank you for overcoming them.
Wow. Thank God for the limits.
Every time I have one of our sessions be positive. It just keeps me going.
I feel like my focus is redirected in a different aspect of my life now.
So, how'd we do today?
We did good.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy. Listen now on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Get emotional with me, Radhi Devlukia, in my new podcast, A Really Good Cry. We're going to talk about and go through all the things that are sometimes difficult to process alone. We're going to go over how to regulate your emotions, diving deep into holistic personal development, and just building your mindset to have a happier, healthier life. We're going to be talking with some of my best friends.
I didn't know we were going to go there on this.
People that I admire.
When we say listen to your body, really tune in to what's going on.
Authors of books that have changed my life.
Now you're talking about sympathy, which is different than empathy, right?
And basically have conversations that can help us get through this crazy thing we call life.
I already believe in myself. I already see myself. And so when people give me an opportunity, I'm just like, oh, great, you see me too.
We'll laugh together, we'll cry together, and find a way through all of our emotions. Never forget, it's okay to cry as long as you make it a really good one. Listen to A Really Good Cry with Radhi Devlukia on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. New year, new name, new energy, but...
same old us.
And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. But that's not all. We will also have special guests to add their thoughts on the topics, as well as break down different political issues with local activists in their community. If you like to be informed and to expand your thoughts, listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right.
And we're back. So Danny, you gave us a bunch of great topics, and the one that we actually haven't talked about was Legos. And curious why you picked this topic, what your kind of history is with Legos, why is this kind of nostalgic for you?
Well, it's nostalgic for me in a couple ways. The reason I think it was most on my brain is that my kid is 4 and he loves Legos, and like the older age that he sees on the box, the more like into it he is. He's like, oh, this is 7 and up, Daddy. Let's get it. And secretly, I'm like, that sounds good to me, man. I'm done with these Duplos anyway. Give me these Legos. I'll help you. Daddy, let me do it. No, let me show you how to do it. Can I do it? And then all of a sudden, I've built like, you know, half of it already. And I'm like, I got to slow down. It takes me about 15 minutes to be like, oh, you're not doing it? I'm sorry. Okay, you can have some. Speaking of, just see where I'm sitting right now. Like, we have a bag of Legos here.
Whoa, they're all over the house.
We just made one of these, and he's 4, like, and he's into it.
Oh, yeah, it's like a race car.
It's a race car.
Nice.
We didn't have stuff like that. We did have the pirate ship, which was really hard to build.
So that's one reason. What's the other reason?
The other reason, and I'm not getting any money from Lego, but I was a Zach the Lego Maniac. I did do 3 commercials for them. No big deal.
Whoa.
When I was a kid, in addition to the money that got put into, you know, a trust for me, well, I'm sure my parents dipped into a little bit. I'm not going to get into that. As a parent now, I'm like, you know, yeah, they probably should. I'm sure they could have taken it. I would have been fine. I would get like a, you know, I get to go to Toys R Us and like pick something out. It's like a little kid, like, you know, you book something, like, go, like, whatever. And I used to be Legos that most of the time I'd pick up different Lego sets. And then when I did these commercials at the end, I was like, do you think I could take them home? So I got to take some of that stuff home. I do that every single commercial
or any project I do. I go, can I take this stuff with me?
Yeah, that's damn right you do. I'm just trying to, you know, be as invested in this product as possible. Now give me one.
But as a kid, how fun to be like, I get to play with this toy and then I get to take it. Like, that's so fun.
That's so
sometimes
much more
it
fun.
Didn't work out. Sometimes it didn't work out. Like, I did a commercial for these toys are real crap. They're it was Last Action Hero made like action figures.
Oh, yeah.
Boy, they're terrible. But it was like so hush hush. They were like, no, you can't take these. Like, nobody can have them.
Yeah, that's
guess
sucks.
What? You didn't feed the guy who's hawking. They didn't hawk well. Sorry.
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah.
It wasn't just a crappy movie. It was the actual toys were crap too.
That's so funny.
That movie though, pretty good soundtrack.
Oh boy, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
I can't believe you remember it.
Megadeth has a song.
Alice in Chains.
Whoa. Yeah.
I actually listened to the soundtrack recently.
Jonah, that's so
soundtracks are hard. They're hard to find if you don't have them. Like, you can't just like go on Spotify and find like the original music for.
Yeah, you can. I think for this one you can.
Oh, you can.
Yeah, okay.
But a lot of times someone will make like a playlist.
A playlist, exactly. Yeah. That's
but
how
Jonah,
I find them.
Can you just walk us through how you ended up listening to the Last Action
Hero? I was
Hero
actually
soundtrack?
Cutting my yard, and I want to say it's the Megadeth song Angry Chair is on it. I can't remember what it is, but for some reason I had some song from the soundtrack in my head, maybe Alice in Chains or Megadeth song, and then I was like, I should just listen to the whole thing. I'm cutting the yard, and it's like I need something to listen to, and so, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it works out. I mean, I did that. That's the Clerks and the Mallrats soundtrack.
Yep.
Just to throw it out there, are like defining pivotal records for me and like my growth of music of what I liked.
Right. Yes. Those were kind of ska or no, they were, what were
they? Had a little bit of everything. Like, you know, like who wanted to talk about Archers of Loaf? They did.
Yep.
And I'm cool with that.
Yeah.
Suzanne, that Weezer B-side song. Boy,
incredible.
Was that a great song.
Incredible. Yeah. You know, Vanessa, I don't know if you know this. Remember, I used to do a podcast in New York called Going Off Track. Our producer, Brad.
Yeah.
He was in a band called The Goops. And they were on the Mallrats soundtrack covering.
Yeah.
Come on, Eileen, maybe? I can't remember. They had a cover on there.
That's, yeah.
Got
Goops,
it.
The Goops.
Got it. And Jonah, you say cutting the yard instead of cutting the lawn?
Yeah.
I've never heard someone say cutting the yard.
I was cutting my yard.
Into pieces.
Yeah,
cut my yard into pieces.
I think you say cutting the lawn.
Cutting the lawn. I don't know.
Cutting your yard sounds like you're just like dividing your yard into like different sections. Like
I'm parceling this one out to the gophers.
Okay, I think it's a little, Vanessa, I gotta say, I think it's a little nitpicky.
You're using it so casually.
I'm selling this lot. This is a one by one lot for sale, but just this where the spot that the for sale sign is on. That's it.
This actually happens with Vicky, my wife, when I say I'm looking for my tennis shoes. And she's like, they're sneakers. And I'm like, no, they're my tennis shoes. And she's like, you don't play tennis in them.
I say tennis shoes too. I think that's a regional
thing
because we're from Ohio.
Danny, what do you say? Sneakers or tennis shoes?
Sneakers.
Sneakers.
Yeah. Yeah. I sort of have started saying sneakers from getting so much, like going to college on the East Coast and stuff and getting people calling it out so much. I eventually just kind of switched over. But I still say tennis shoes sometimes, but I don't think anyone says
cutting up the yard.
I was cutting my yard in my tennis shoes. I was probably doing it in Crocs, honestly. Let's be honest. But Danny, getting back to Legos, what do you think it is about it? Because, you know, I work in kind of like mental health field now a lot. And I feel like, as opposed to like video games or something, there does seem something kind of like meditative or therapeutic about the act of being really focused on a Lego and like achieving it after like spending a lot of time. What's it like? Do you have that at all?
Yeah. I mean, there's only so much Tetris you can play in life.
Right.
You know?
Yes.
We started, I grew up from Legos and then Tetris and then back to Legos and then being in a band and trying to fit all the gear into like the back of one car. We used to call that playing Tetris to see how we could fit it all in. I do think that, I mean, I am somebody who desperately needs like tangible things. Like I mess with streaming services and stuff like that, but like I need records, I need CDs, cassettes, whatever it is. And I mean, it gives such satisfaction. It's the same thing as like the person who's like, you know what I love doing? I love just sitting there and like putting my flyers together and stacking them up and let, you know.
Yeah.
I get making my tour laminates for me and my five friends. I'm going to sit there for three, you know, like,
right.
You're not a signed big band, but we're making these anyway. And like, you know, you put the time and the effort and it comes out and you can hold it and you like, I made this. And there's something that's like, I feel like that's inherently like a human thing to be like, oh, proud of creation.
Yeah. 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 That is so funny. Did you ever make your own laminates? Yeah.
Yeah. Why not?
Yeah. It's, you know, why not?
Dude, I was doing at 16 and 17, all that used to throw these things called the Music and More Festival. And it was at all like the outdoor sheds across the country and like 98 Degrees and Monica would headline. And
whoa.
They all had like huge bands. And then like four or five like other like teeny bopper up and comings that like had like, you know, a CD that they put in with the music and didn't have any musicians. But Monica and 98 Degrees had these like fire bands. They were so good. And, you know, they all had their tour laminates and we had ours. And, you know, I guess it just came from that and was like,
yeah,
well, what do you mean? We're going to be playing the, you know, we're going to play this nightclub down the street and we're telling them that we're 21, right? But we're only 18. Who cares? We're going to try to get in there. We're going to try to drink some beers. And we got a tour laminate. We got to look professional. We got to look like we're 21 years old. So that was kind of like, yeah, you know, you can, if you're looking the part, you might sneak away with it. And
yeah,
that's kind of what we did, I guess.
Wow.
We don't do it anymore as 41 years old. The last, you know, 2019 was the last time we did like a full tour and there are no laminates. There probably haven't been laminates in 20 years.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just, yeah. Have you hit that point where like you just totally stopped getting ID'd? Because I'm there now. I'm 44 and it's like, And then there was like an in-between period where sometimes I get ID'd. I'd be like, oh, this is kind of nice. And now it's like, nope, that transitional period's over.
Yeah, no. I have not been ID'd in a very long time. Which maybe goes against what people, you know, or goes with what people are saying that, or that goes against.
No,
that.
I would ID you.
You would ID me?
If you were trying to like get a beer or something, I'd be like, let's see some ID.
See some ID, kid.
I went to the Rams Browns game with Paul Britton and we both got ID'd and it was so awesome. And we were like, I guess we look super young. I'm 42.
Vanessa, I'm picturing you IDing someone and it doesn't feel
scary.
Doesn't feel like very scary. Yeah. It feels like you'd be like,
There was a bar by where I used to live in the Lower East Side called Library Bar. And I used to go there all the time because I lived on 3rd and C. So that was like my local, and they had a great like punk rock jukebox and all that stuff. One night I was a little inebriated there and they just happened to be like a bar stool sitting next to the door. And so I just was like drunk, like IDing people that came in and nobody, they would never ID anybody coming in there. So like regulars looking at me like, and they were like fumbling for their stuff. And then at some point the bartender saw, I was like, we used to stop. ID
Stop
people
IDing.
Like, what are you doing? And I'm like, it's funny. It's a funny shtick. It's a good shtick.
That's awesome. I like that you did that.
I was trying to keep the bar alive, you know?
Yeah.
I'm sure they were underage people that didn't show me their ID.
Keep them within the...
I'm a rule breaker and also a rule abider, depending.
Yes. Yes. Complicated. I found some fun facts about Legos. The Lego name is made from the first two letters of the Danish word legat, meaning play well.
Oh.
The Lego group patented the Lego block in 1958. On average, every person on Earth owns 86 Legos.
Whoa.
No, that's
what it says.
That's insane.
Yep. This is from Lego Education. In 2012, 45.7 billion Lego bricks were produced at a rate of 5.2 million per hour. Laid end to end, the number of Lego bricks sold in 2012 would stretch around the world more than 18 times. And
no,
to reach.
No.
Lessons to reach the moon, you would need to build a column of approximately 40 billion Lego bricks.
Wow. Which maybe
that's insane.
And yeah, speaking of New York, you can get a Lego Flatiron building. They also got the Lincoln Memorial.
They've got any and everything. What they don't have for kids, they have for adults. Like they want their equal opportunity.
Yeah, it's like they got to do like a CBGB Lego set or something, right?
Yeah.
The Trevi Fountain in the Louvre.
The only reason that these Legos are sticky is because it's the only, those are the only pieces that go in the CBGB's bathroom. That's a little too real, Lego. You chill out on that.
That's a little too real.
It looks like some of the Legos are really expensive. Like they're the Millennium Falcon is $850
for a Millennium Falcon. Danny, do you have that one?
No. You know, we're buying right now. We're on the they have a line called City.
Okay.
So we're going. We buy the City stuff. So they're like, oh, I mean, it doesn't tell you what city it is. It's all different cities because there's like some Arctic stuff. There's some like water stuff, but mostly they're like small packages. They're between $9 and $20.
Yeah.
Okay. It feels like when I'm getting hit up at Target in there with my son, and he goes to grab for like the $50-$60 one. I'm like, why don't you dial it down a little bit? You're gonna bamboozle me between $9.99 and $19.99. That's fine. I won't eat a couple hot dogs tomorrow.
Yeah. You got to get him into those commercials for the real expensive kits.
Right. Exactly.
And then he can take them home.
Take them home. Yeah. See, that's exactly right. Because I bet that pirate ship was a lot of money back then, too.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sure that was like not every kid was able to get that one.
Yeah.
Prison Company included. Yeah. That's why I had to do the commercial for it.
What do you do with the Legos? Once you guys build them, it's done. Is there a place you store them? Because that's my question, I guess.
They hang out. He does have a 17-month-old daughter. My daughter is 17 months old. It's his sister, 102 brain. So we have to like be careful because my son didn't stick everything in his mouth.
Right.
But she is like, she's putting stuff in and it's like, it's hectic. So we keep things in plastic bags and Ziplocs and have the stuff I never did. I just threw that shit back in the box and was like, all right, that's fine. Like I'll come back to it.
Right.
And then it turned into like some of the pieces are missing. So then these just became like, you know, we do a lot of freeform once they're done. Guess what I'm saying is we keep them up. She'll knock something over, a piece will fall off, something will go awry and they'll be not 100%. And then my son's just like, well, we're just going to do a free build with them.
Nice.
That's cool.
Imagination, creativity, got it. Yeah.
I'll take it. There's actually a cool app on your phone called Build It. And it's like, you can take all the random Legos that you have and like dump them on the table and just make sure they're flat. So not like stacked up on each other. So just line them out and you take a picture of it and it'll like go through and be like, here's 97 things you can do with it.
Whoa, that's incredible.
Wow. It is very cool. Some of it's a little like rudimentary, like, oh, okay, yeah, I know I can build these. I can make a little duck. I get it. But like they do have like cooler things. You're like, oh, wow. Like, yeah, I guess I do
that's
have the.
So cool. I was going to say my best friend Gwen gave me like a flower bouquet to build that like you display it after you're done. Like then you have like beautiful Lego flowers.
You just got to be careful if you got a dog or something,
knocks
into it and it blows up. Because that's it. One problem, especially like on a, you know, wall-to-wall carpeting was a thing when we were kids. It's not really a thing these days. That hits the floor and those things are going to blow up all over the place.
Right.
Be careful. Make sure you have it in a good spot.
I don't know that I'll ever finish it. But
how far along are you with it, Vanessa?
I said I was one third of the way. I'd say it's closer to one fifth.
Okay.
Of the way, I got to take that thing back out. Yeah, I'd say 20%.
Well, look, next time I'm in LA, if you need help, I will be happy to come over.
When I'm hosting the Nickelodeon,
the
jam sesh, then we can work on the Lego thing, kind of as a warm up.
It's a good idea. Well, I'll talk to Danny Cooksey. Do you play any instruments, Vanessa? Because it could be like Ginger Surprise or something fun.
I could kind of do vocals or.
I think
I could find my recorder.
We just need a redheaded drummer. We just need a redheaded drummer.
Yeah.
That's tough.
From Nickelodeon. Peter Costa, I know, is a good buddy of mine from Jersey, who was the white kid from the Cosby Show. And he's a phenomenal drummer. And he's, I think he's kind of bald these days. So, I mean, we could just put a red wig on him.
We're set.
Yeah. We're set.
Love that.
All right. We're going to take a quick break and we will be right back with Danny Tamborelli.
I'm Elia Connie, and this is Family Therapy.
My best hopes, I guess, identify the life that I want and work towards it.
I never seen a man take care of my mother the way she needed to be taken care of.
I get the impression that you don't feel like you've done everything right as a father. Is that true?
That's true, and I'm not offended by that.
Thank you for going through those things, and thank you for overcoming them.
Thank God for the limits.
Every time I have one of our sessions be positive. It just keeps me going.
I feel like my focus is redirected in a different aspect of my life now.
So, how'd we do today?
We did good.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy. Listen now on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Get emotional with me, Radhi Devlukia, in my new podcast, A Really Good Cry. We're going to talk about and go through all the things that are sometimes difficult to process alone. We're going to go over how to regulate your emotions, diving deep into holistic personal development, and just building your mindset to have a happier, healthier life. We're going to be talking with some of my best friends.
I didn't know we were going to go there on this.
People that I admire.
When we say listen to your body, really tune in to what's going on.
Authors of books that have changed my life.
Now you're talking about sympathy, right, which is different than empathy, yeah, right?
And basically have conversations that can help us get through this crazy thing we call life.
I already believe in myself. I already see myself. And so when people give me an opportunity, I'm just like, oh, great, you see me too.
We'll laugh together, we'll cry together, and find a way through all of our emotions. Never forget, it's okay to cry as long as you make it a really good one. Listen to A Really Good Cry with Radhi Devlukia on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. New year, new name, new energy, but...
same old us.
And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics, in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. But that's not all. We will also have special guests to add their thoughts on the topics, as well as break down different political issues with local activists in their community. If you like to be informed and to expand your thoughts, listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right.
Okay, and we're back. So Danny, now we're going to play a pretty fun game called Change.Dork.
Change.Dork.
Otherwise known as Let's Make Fun of People Who Don't Know How to Use Change.org. And in this game, we'll bring up three different somewhat nostalgic things that people are trying to bring back on Change.org with various petitions. And we'll each vote for our favorite. Thank you so much.
I can kick us off.
Sure.
So this first one is called Release the Adventures of Pete and Pete Season 3 DVD. And it says, Season 3 of the beloved 90s television program, The Adventures of Pete and Pete, has long ago been sitting in some warehouse waiting for the fans of the show to buy them. We fans of the beloved 90s television program have been patient for far too long. We would like you, the people that have copies of the finished Season 3 DVDs, to let us buy them from you. You will get our money for them. It's just that simple. And it goes on and on, saying, you know, it's already been made. All you have to do is give fans the opportunity to purchase them. Danny, what do you think about releasing these season? Do these really exist?
I know a lot about this particular one. I will say that...
interesting.
So Mike, Big Pete and I have had a podcast for like a decade called The Adventures of
yes,
Danny and Mike.
Yeah.
We have a whole thing. We have listeners that are ready with grappling hooks. We just have to find the right warehouse in Jersey where it is. It's somewhere in Jersey City, like that strip of 1 and 9 where there's all these, you know... basically, they had Viacom... doesn't want to pay for music rights, bottom line. MTV, we were able to like use this library of music and after a certain amount of time, you know, there are reversion rights and they got to renegotiate and do all that stuff. And, you know, what do billion-dollar companies give a shit about, like, the magnetic fields and, like, you know, it's
right.
It's sad because it's important.
Wow.
And the weirder thing is that at some point, Nickelodeon did pull the music and put other music because there was a digital cable network called Noggin that used to run.
Yes, I remember that.
When I was in college, I would get like text messages from friends, like, you know, drunk or high, like late at night, being like, dude, I just watched you put a marshmallow up your nose, bro. So they were able to do it, but the DVDs had all the original stuff. And we had done all like the, you know, we'd watched it and did the, what do you call it? When you're talking about it as it's going on, you know, like all that.
The commentary.
Yeah. And we took pictures, and this was 2005, I remember, because I was like just moved to 3rd and Avenue C. And we're like, oh, cool, this is going to be great. And then it just never showed up. And then it just, they didn't tell anybody anything. There was a cup. I mean, everything was done for it. Like, it was all pressed and ready to go. And then someone was like, oopsies, got to pay them. And they're like, nah, we're not going to pay for this. That seems unreasonable. We just make billions of dollars every year. Like, we're not going to put any effort into that. So I harbor plenty of ill will, and I want nothing more than for people to see season 3. I mean, I actually have most of them still on VHS because I was able to get the seasons, and they were just giving me the actual copies. So if anybody wants, you can send me a Venmo and I'll send you your season 3. I'll make a couple quick bucks before I get in trouble.
Incredible.
But you're saying the ones that they showed on Noggin had a different soundtrack?
Some of the stuff already.
Wow.
So I'm curious as to whether they didn't realize that the episodes that they pulled were the original ones and they didn't have the, I don't know. It's you know what I mean? Like, Viacom's just so big. Like, I'm sure that just kept being like somebody being like, I'm not sure. I'm covering my, it's just like CYA all the way up until they're like, oh, whoopsies.
Right, wow. Right. Yeah.
That's crazy.
I think this is an issue with a lot of shows from that era, unfortunately.
I mean, it's true. The music's important. I mean, and you think about it, if Spotify gave artists money that they deserve for plays, I don't think artists would keep their feet stuck in the mud for getting a big payout for something like that. But, you know, somebody's got to get paid somehow for something. That's a creative endeavor for them. So.
Yeah.
I feel it.
No, it
I
makes
feel
sense.
It. I'm with them. I want them to get paid, but I also want people to see the show that's not like, you can watch them all on YouTube, but they're not like, they're kind of weird. You know, sometimes they're not like formatted properly and like, you know. It was shot in 4:3 and it comes out like widescreen and weird, but like people still show it and they show it to their kids and they're like, this is what it is. And I'm like, well, it's 3/4 of what it is. There's something really cool at the edge of frame right now. Like, we were like Wes Anderson before Wes Anderson was. So they're kind of important to like see the whole thing.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. So this one has 324 signatures, but there's actually multiple petitions that have hundreds of signatures. So I think you're well over that.
So maybe Viacom had it right. They're like, oh, 300 people are going to buy this fucking thing. I'm going to spend like a...
Well, like I said, you know, I think the fans aren't super organized. Maybe they should all come together for one petition versus...
At the Danny and Mike show.
That's what you've been trying to do. You guys have been trying to do that.
You know, I mean, again, like we need grappling hooks people. We need, you know, special ops people.
Yeah.
General
thieves. Well, me and Vanessa are in, whatever we can do.
In general.
Yep. Get some drones, get some, figure it out.
It sounds like we're all very into this.
Yes, I'll support this.
And would sign this now. But would you sign it over this next petition, which is year-long garlic bread at Subway? Like most other students here at the University of Hartford, Subway is a staple of my nutritional experience. I'm now a junior and couldn't imagine my collegiate experience without Subway, blah, blah, blah. Once a year around the fall and winter, Subway has a seasonal garlic bread that you can order with any of your sandwiches. It's a delicious combination of bread, garlic, and mozzarella cheese. It is as simple as it is delectable. However, once the colder months start to pass and the shorts come out of the closet, Subway takes away this amazing bread and adds flavor and layer to an already fulfilling sub. To me, this is absurd for two reasons. Now this person goes through to say their two reasons. Number one, garlic bread is not a seasonal food. Like they say, like the pumpkin spice latte is a fall drink and should be treated as such. However, garlic bread is not associated with any season and should be available year long. Number two, Subway already has all the ingredients necessary to make the garlic bread. They have bread, they have garlic, they have mozzarella all year long. It's not a struggle just to put these ingredients together and pop it in the toaster oven. Then this person says, overall, Subway garlic bread is an amazing eating experience and should be available to every Subway goer all year round. What do you think, Danny?
I think that's amazing. I think it's you know, like, especially if you're a college student, probably like one of the best things I could have made in college was garlic bread that way. You get some garlic.
Yeah.
You get a loaf of bread, spread it out. The mozzarella on there, too, is a little, I'm not sure. It kind of reminds me of that prepackaged, frozen, with like the big long silver.
God, I haven't thought about that stuff. Remember, Joni, you loved that stuff, that like pizza that was like French bread pizza, kind of, that you'd make.
Oh, like the Stouffer's?
Yes, but it was different. Like, Stouffer's was still in the box. Like, this came in like a big, long, like silver bag loaf, and all you have to do is take it and put it in the oven, set the timer, and take it out.
And it was always, the bread was always super hard.
I remember those Red Baron ones, but
these were pre that, John. We definitely ate these. It was like sort of before they, I feel like it was sort of before they figured out how to do pizza at home.
Like, why are we freezing this bread and then we're heating it up again and it's still hard?
And why is it like the hardest?
But it was delicious. It was delicious. Yeah. Like it was good until you hit that crust at the back. Just, you couldn't eat the butt.
Got it.
Yeah, you couldn't eat the butt of that bread, or you were going right to the dentist. I'm gonna say a hard pass on that.
All right. So Dan's not into this one. So this petition actually first started, I was like, this sounds like it's written by like a Subway employee. Because it's like, they're saying how it's as simple as it is delectable. It doesn't sound like a college kid would say about Subway.
Yeah.
This feels like an adult writing what they think a college kid would say if they love Subway.
There's already a Papa John's around the corner. And that Papa John's certainly has garlic bread for you.
Yes. Yes.
Right.
So I agree with that. I do agree with the point that garlic bread isn't a seasonal food and they have the ingredients. That makes sense. But I will say, I've been to Subway in a long time. Only place I know where you can get like translucent tomatoes. And I feel like they give you all these choices for bread and they all taste the same. So to me, it's like, is it super garlicky? To me, it's like all the breads are kind of this like bland.
If you're eating a sandwich,
taste.
Why the hell do you need garlic bread on the side? That's like the double bread thing is a little, like, I love bread. I fuck with bread all the time.
Sure.
Doubling up like that just feels a little.
Yeah. I'm with you. I think it's a little unnecessary. It's not because like a pumpkin spice latte, putting that in really changes the flavor
absolutely.
Of the latte.
But like if you're buying like a pizza and then you buy like the cheesy breadsticks with it, with the dipping marinara sauce, I'm like, you just bought deconstructed pizza, dude. Like, what are you doing?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
exactly. So yeah, I don't know. I'm not big in this one. Vanessa, what do you think?
Sounds pretty delicious to me, you guys. I mean, I don't know. I just feel like maybe try it a little longer than this like seasonal period they do it for and see how it sells. It just, I mean, I can't imagine like if I was like picking up lunch and going back into work, like eating garlic bread at lunch and not having people be like, get the hell out of here. Just because of how the sandwich smells, because of how I smell, you know, but like it does seem delicious and it does seem a little bit like, we've got the stuff here, you know? So, meaning the ingredients. So, I don't know.
You sound more open to it than
I'm
me and
more
Danny.
Open to it.
Okay, fair enough.
I just agree with you that it should be all year. And I'm curious why they think that garlic bread is just seized. Like, Subway Corporate was like, garlic bread, but only for a quarter.
I wonder if it's a marketing thing where they're like, if people feel it's limited, they'll be more excited about it. If it's always on the menu, it's like when there's a band who like always tours, you're like, I'll see them next time. And then they're like, this is our final tour. Everyone's like, we have to go see them.
Yeah. And then they have another final tour, as we know.
That band is Kiss, and they've been doing it for 25 years. I don't buy that was their last show at Madison Square Garden.
No way. All right. This last petition, this is a pretty short one. It's called Get Gary to Listen to Jar of Flies by Alice in Chains. And it says, Gary claims to enjoy music, but hasn't listened to Jar of Flies by the 90s alternative rock, alternative metal grunge band Alice in Chains. Jar of Flies is musical landmark that has touched the emotions and souls of others and has been universally acclaimed as one of the best EPs ever made. By signing my petition, you are making Gary listen to the EP and for him to have more knowledge on music and for him to stop being a nerd. And this one has 40 signatures. They're trying to get to 50. Danny, what do you think about getting Gary to listen to Jar of Flies?
You should. And I would say if you have to force Gary into listening to it, then maybe you should be hanging out with Gary.
Yeah. Wow.
Now, can we talk about Jar of Flies?
It's the one with the Jar of Flies on the cover. Not the one with the three-legged dog, which was their last one, which I love as well.
Not to be confused with this one. I got the tab, the original tab book from my childhood.
Facelift,
this one.
Yeah.
Facelift.
Oh, I have all those tab books I kept all that too.
Jar of Flies is the album?
Yeah. It's an EP. It had, did that have No Excuses on it?
Excuses. I feel like Rotten Apple was on that one.
Yeah.
I Stay Away.
Yeah.
Okay. I was thinking that Jar of Flies was a song and that I Stay Away was the song. But what if the guy who created this
change.org just got confused and he really meant to say Jars of Clay. And that's what he really wanted. He really wanted Gary to listen to Jars of Clay instead and be like, can you believe that they're a Christian band? Could you believe it?
It's so funny. That's so funny that like, what if Jars of Clay wanted to have a different name, but they were already dealing with the thing of like names being so hard to get, original names, and they just were like, what if we do? I don't know. I don't know what I'm saying. What I'm saying here is it's so random that their name is Jars of Clay, but it probably has some like Jesus-y aspect to it.
When,
right,
you like know, Jesus. With the footprints, when there was only one set, and it wasn't because he left you, it's because he was carrying you. They carried him, and they put that in the jar of clay, and that's what it's.
Yeah, the jars of clay is what happened next.
Before he went to the gates of hell for not believing,
he was saved by the jars of clay.
So, Danny, it sounds like you're in support of Gary listening
very
to
much in support of
to
that,
this
yeah.
one.
And by the way, Jonah, you didn't say who started this petition.
It was started by someone named David Bowie. I'm not sure if that's authentic. I think you can kind of type in whoever's starting it, whoever you're sending it to. But yeah, I would find that very hard to believe.
David Bowie's final request before he died, after making that record right before he died, was just like, tell Gary to listen to Jars of Flies by Alice in Chains.
I support this one. You know, maybe a little controversial. I kind of think Sap is the Alice in Chains EP.
That's the one.
To listen
Sap
to.
That's very that, good. Yeah,
that's a
I
good
mean,
one.
Were, I liked them all. I mean, Dirt for me, I had that on cassette. I had it twice on CD, probably, maybe three times. That might have been one of the, you know, like going back to my dad saying that is my grandma threw out his Superman number one. I think I left out CDs once, and my mom was like, if you keep these CDs out, I'm going to break them. And I was like, no, you're not.
Yep.
And I think she picked up a Dirt CD and went, looked at me and just snapped it in half. Because that's the kind of mom she is. She was like, look, we can have fun, but like, don't fuck around. And
wow, I bet you were singing an angry chair for that
one.
You
took the words right out of my mouth.
But I think Gary, look, if Gary hasn't heard Jar of Flies, I don't know Gary. It's classic. You should check it out. Check out Sap. Check out the whole discography. But I support anyone checking out this music. So I'm with it. Vanessa, what do you think?
I'd like to know more about Gary. But I do think even I know this album, although I couldn't recognize exactly what it was by name and thought it was a song. I think, you know, this is pretty mainstream stuff. It's not.
Sure.
Would you say that Jar of Flies is their most popular album? Because the only Alice in Chains songs I think I know are on that album.
So it's an EP, so it's not really considered an album.
Excuse me.
But I would say it has some of their biggest songs, but not, you know, think, their, you know, it doesn't have like Rooster or Man in Box.
Dirt, and, I would think is probably their biggest, Dirt. Their biggest one.
Okay.
I think Dirt is definitely has sold the most, is their most well-known album.
I stay away.
Okay.
I mean, what a banger that one is.
Oh, yeah.
Is that on Jar of Flies? Okay.
It is. It is. And that is a great song. Yeah. I mean, Jar of Flies has some of the big hits on
some
it.
Some of
well,
the
though.
Big hits. Well, okay. Sure. I mostly agree with this, but I'd like a little, I reserve the right to kind of find out more about Gary and.
That's fair.
And honestly, quote unquote, David Bowie and what's going on with him.
Sure. So, okay. So we're going to sum this up. Dan, if you had to sign one of these petitions on change.org, would it be release The Adventures of Pete and Pete season 3 DVD? Year-long garlic bread at Subway, or get Gary to listen to Jar of Flies?
I mean,
Battles
everybody
and
thinks I'm going to pick number one, and you would
okay.
probably
it's
be
okay
right
to be
because I feel like that's the most important one to me, not just for me, but also like maybe I will catch a piece of that. You know, I don't know, a little piece of that action. Would be
yeah,
great.
That'd be nice.
But it's tough.
That'd
it's
be
a
nice.
Toss up because. Fucking Gary, just listen to it for, you know, like you really need 50 people. You got 40. That's damn close.
You might
I
have 43
so.
After
I,
this
I,
podcast.
I think I'm going to go Gary. I'm going to switch. Whoa. You know, that's the kind of guy I am. If I can do a little something for Gary and like make him feel better. I mean, he could also listen to that record and slink down into a terrible depression. So,
sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
So now are you going back?
You're right. Or? I'm waffling now. I'm
walking it back.
No, I'm gonna stick with Gary. He needs to listen to it.
Okay.
Okay. Fair enough. Vanessa, what about you?
I'm gonna go with garlic bread. I'm just kidding. I'm gonna go Pete and Pete. Totally kidding. Pete and Pete all the way. You know that is so. I can't believe that it exists. And they won't just pay for that. Even if they have to pay millions of dollars, which they probably do, they can afford it. Just like release this to the fans. It already exists. We'll help promote it at the show at my house.
Perfect. Yeah.
Jonah, what about
go,
you?
Go. I'm going to go with Pete and Pete also. I think we, like with my CDs, now I don't have a CD player. People are going to stop having DVD players. You know, these things are going to get outdated. Let's just get them out there. This feels like wasteful environmentally, culturally, you know, it's time.
Well, I'm
it's
glad time. I'm glad I'm really glad that you guys are there. I'm there in spirit.
Yes, we yes. feel you hit there in spirit. Danny, what are you kind of promoting right now? I know you have a lot of stuff going on. You have the book, we have Good Burger 2, all this stuff. What you do you want to kind of promote?
You can
where
find
can people
me
find you?
On the Instagrams at Danny Tamborelli
Love.
Or Threads. You will find me on X, but I do not communicate. And Facebook, I guess, whatever. DannyTamborelli.com. Why not? The band, Jounce.org. We're in the middle of making a new record. So that should be out like the middle of next year. First Date Prophecy is a book I wrote with my wife that's loosely based on our meet cute, but then also is a complete farce and fiction. But we did meet on Tinder and she did know who I was and swiped the other way on accident and then deleted Tinder and swiped again for 3 days until she found me and then we matched. And so that's in the book. But from there it gets into kooky stuff with a psychic and a prophecy and all that. And that's, you can get that wherever you like to get your books. If you don't like to read books, but you like to listen, we did an audio book. It's a dual POV. So I read half of the book and Mara Wilson reads the other half and she's great. So you can go,
Mara Wilson.
You can go listen to that. And we have a companion book coming out in May called The Road Trip Rewind, which you don't have to read both books. But if you do, it's in the same world. The main character from the first book's brother is the main character in the second book.
Okay.
And what else? Good Bert. Podcast,
and your podcast,
The Adventures of Danny and Mike. We've been down for a little bit because Mike and I both have young children and it's been hard to focus, but we have plans to refocus in early 2024 with more us bullshitting with friends and people.
It's so nice that you're still in touch and
we
you're
both
still
live in
close.
Brooklyn.
That's
He's
so
up in
great.
Greenpoint, I'm in Crown Heights, and we catch hangs sometimes in
that.
The middle.
Do people freak out when they see you
Especially
together?
When we were at Domino Park earlier in
the warmer months a few months ago, and he has a new little girl, and I have a new little girl, and we were both like had our little, you know, babies holding on, and like we both have like little boys who are, you know, 7 and 4, and like they're running around at this playground at Domino Park in like hipster Ground Zero Williamsburg, and like, yeah, we get weird looks, and people, I can see people like taking pictures, and like I've got like,
oh, I bet people were losing their minds. Like,
Pete and Pete with their little Petes, and like, you know, it just becomes a, you know, it's a funny thing when we're out in public. We used to, when we didn't have kids and we'd see each other in public, it was a much different affair. Like I ran into him outside of a Beastie Boys show at McCarran Pool, and I had been out drinking maybe the night before and was a little hungover, and I think he ran up to me because he used to play soccer at McCarran, and he hit me in the back like, hey, how you doing? And I was coughing and I threw up in between two cars, and that's it.
Wow.
And I was like, okay, well, wow. Sometimes we do that, and other times, look at us, we're wholesome dads holding coffee with our kids. So we've been able to run the gamut, you know, since I've known him since I was 7 years old, so.
Oh my God, that's incredible.
It's a good time.
I love that you're still doing stuff together. I think that hanging out and doing a podcast, that's so great.
Oh,
and anything
go
else?
Watch, go, that's a lot of stuff. Sorry, everybody. And go watch Good Burger 2 on Paramount Plus. You'll see me for a split second in a singing montage with people that I have no business being around, including. I know.
Oh, come on.
It's like, you know.
Come on, Danny.
Mikey Day, and then me, and then George Clinton. So let's do the math on that. Where would you rank the three of us? I know, Vanessa, you don't have to answer if you don't want to.
Oh, I'm putting you at the top. Sorry. That's awesome. Yes, Good Burger 2. Anything else? I love hearing all this stuff. You're
got a lot going on.
You're a busy guy.
A lot of fingers and a lot of different honey pots and see what sticks. But mostly I'm just a daddy daycare. My son goes to full-time pre-K this year, so he was my first daddy daycare graduate. So I sent my daughter now, and it's nice to be able to do the things that I need to do, but I also don't have a 9-to-5. I don't have like I'm a dad. So
yeah, that's great. This was so much fun. Thank you so much, Danny, for joining us, and to everyone for listening. Yes, this was so great.
Such a blast. I can't wait for the party in the backyard. And I honestly...
Oh my God, yes. We have to... I'll figure out great refreshments. Jonah, you and Vicky can come in.
I'll make Kale bring his orange soda. You know, that's a big deal for him.
Yes, yes. We'll make sure Keenan's there, and Jenny, Lewis. We'll get everybody kind of together, and... And also, if anyone, like, maybe one of them has, like, a kind of bigger house that we could do it at. But, like, we'll figure it out. Anyways, to the listeners, if you enjoyed this, please subscribe to the podcast and keep an eye out for next week's episode of How Did We Get Weird, where we will discuss more stories from our childhood and cultural touchstones, like Legos. Thank you again,
pleasure.
Danny. This
Thanks,
was great.
Danny. Hanging out with you guys.
This is so
fun.
Like,
hang out.
I love hanging out with you.
My fake TV sibling, and it's nice that you guys are doing stuff with your real siblings. It's beautiful. It's a beautiful thing.
Oh, that's so nice.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio, Season 9.
Love at first listen.
We're older, we're wiser, and we're podcasting through a new decade of our lives.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
And getting to the heart of our stories.
We're going places we've never gone before, and we're bringing you along with us.
With new segments, correspondence, and a brand new sound.
Season 9 is kicking off with an intimate interview with Grammy Award-winning singer-songwriter Natalia Lafourcade. What's giving you hope right now?
Well, when I see what music does to people,
It gives me a lot of hope.
If you liked Locatora before, you're going to love season 9.
Subscribe to our show and you'll see why Locatora is your prima's favorite podcast.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Dura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, hi, I'm Rachel Zoe, and my podcast, Climbing in Heels, is back and better than ever. You might know me from the Rachel Zoe Project, or perhaps from my work as a celebrity stylist. And guess what? I'm still just as obsessed with all things fashion, beauty, and business. Climbing in Heels is all about celebrating the stories of extraordinary women, and this season is here to bring you a weekly dose of glamour, inspiration, and fun. Listen to Climbing in Heels every Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. Listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right.